This podcast is brought to you in part by The Pop Insider. The Pop Insider has all the latest in news, merch reviews, and other geeky goodness. Whether you're a wizard, a Sith Lord, or a superhero, fuel your fandom at thepopinsider.com.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, to Geek Watch 1. And I think we've finally slowly started to recover from our turkey comas.
Slowly.
I know Cassie, as soon as we were done with dinner, was gone. And she kept begging for more turkey. It's like, if I'd give her any more turkey, more than just two or three pieces, she'll be in a coma for a week.
Well, see, we don't tend to suffer the coma because it's not actually the turkey. It's the carbs you eat that make you tired.
Yeah.
So we had a basically carb-free Thanksgiving, so yeah. we didn't have an issue.
Well, you guys have had dinner on your own before, and with everything that's going on in the world, we ended up had our first ever Thanksgiving with just the two of us at home.
Wow.
It was interesting. We had never cooked a turkey. Now, stuffing and potatoes and stuff we've done before, but...
First several holidays was just the two of us because we didn't really know anybody here.
Yeah.
Right. I saw a lot of postings on Facebook of people who were talking about cooking it for the first time and all that, and they were just like, I'm cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. I'm like, you've probably cooked vegetables before, haven't you? Like, you're not cooking for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, you're maybe doing a turkey for the first time, but even that's not too difficult if you just follow the directions.
Yeah, you gotta be very watch what you're doing with it though, because turkey is the one that's notoriously able to be messed up real easy.
Well, I mean, part of it is knowing what to do in the beginning, because so many people buy the frozen ones, don't know how long to thaw it, don't realize there are things like giblets and a neck inside it that they have to pull out.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of steps to take before you even get to the roasting of the turkey.
Sometimes I think the giblets in the neck is the whole reason Vicky wants to get one of those turkeys.
Well, you just pull all that out and you boil it up and you give it to your dog.
We actually wrapped them in a cheesecloth and put them in the roaster with the turkey.
Ah, yeah. See, there you go.
So it had all the same flavors and the butter and everything else from it.
Right.
Right.
So you guys had a good time for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. It was nice and quiet, and we got to watch the Macy's Parade, which was a different version, but they still put it on.
We got even the weirder version because we watched it on YouTube on the Verizon feed. So you didn't actually see any of the main stage type stuff there. Very little of it. A lot of it was the behind the scenes stuff from the parade that we watched.
That would suck because the whole point of watching the Macy's Parade is to get all the Broadway show stuff.
Yeah.
That's really why I watch it, to get all the Broadway stuff.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get the any of the regular network feeds to come in. I don't have cable, so.
Normally we're on our way down to your parents' house, so we usually don't get it to watch it at all.
This was the first year we could actually sit down and watch, so hopefully by next year, I'm thinking about getting a, one of those 360-degree antennas for the roof. I have a tower attached to the side of the house and an old antenna that's dead, so I just got to get up there and replace it, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So we were happy it was at least on, and then, of course, the dog show was on, too, which is really more important than the parade. We all know that.
How strange was the dog show?
Well, it was only strange if you really looked at the crowd, because they had cut down the number of entries, so all they were showing was best in breed in all the various types.
Right.
But the crowd was all cardboard cutouts, which... it was actually kind of cool the way they did it, though, because you could actually basically sponsor a cutout and the money went to animal organizations.
Yeah.
So it was something they did ahead of time to actually fill the seats. And then they piped in the usual crowd noise. Mm-hmm. So it sounded fine and it looked fine. And, like, the dogs were even kind of reacting like they normally would have.
Yeah.
But it was just if you took a good look at the crowd that it suddenly felt a little out of place.
Yeah. So they did it basically the way baseball did it this summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because baseball, other than, remember, if you watch Fox, they actually put a virtual crowd in there.
Yeah.
In the stands, but everybody else was using cardboard cutouts. And I really do like the sporting events and things that pipe in the crowd noise into the arena.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If they would pipe it in separately into the feed as you're going, I think that would be weird.
Yeah.
But actually just having it in the arena itself so you can hear it, you can actually hear it being picked up by the commentators' mics and stuff like that, that works really well.
I'm pretty sure it was in the arena the way, like, the dogs were reacting to cheers and stuff like that. The other cool thing about the cutouts, they weren't all people. Some of them were dogs. Dog cutouts as well.
They did,
and the commentators, it was the same usual ones. It was it John O'Hurley plus the other guy who's the actual dog expert?
Right.
They were commentating on it virtually. Like, they weren't actually there in person.
Okay.
Right. They were all from home. And there's the woman as well that...
Yeah, the woman that does the the things about the specific dogs and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
so, they were all from home. And if there were any interviews, the interviews were done virtually as well. So.
But, I mean, it didn't feel that off. It felt pretty normal for the dog. You just didn't get the behind-the-scenes stuff that you sometimes get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it went through pretty well. And, of course, Zoe was just happy to bark at the TV again. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sat back and basically we watched movies, I think, and played a little bit of video games, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Glad it worked the next day.
Yeah. We did get, with Black Friday and all the deals all going on, we picked up a couple of new games from Xbox this weekend on Xbox Live.
Okay.
I got Star Wars Squadrons. I've not got a chance to play it yet. We picked up Star Wars Squadrons, and they had a couple of the Lego games at $5. Those games are awesome if you get, just for $5 that we can just sit down and start smashing stuff. They're fun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So... That and I worked on a lot more Final Fantasy 15. I'm still working my way through. That game's going to take me 6 months to go through.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's when we ended up, that's when we started, once Thanksgiving was kind of through, that's when we started watching the holiday stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yep. And we got a lot of that. That's coming up later on in the show, Geeksters. We're going to be talking holiday movies and what we caught this weekend. There's a bunch of new ones and some not so new ones sometimes that we saw.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be talking about the new ones, though, because there's stuff you got to see out there.
So, but after that, Geeksters, well, we're talking about what we did for Thanksgiving. What did you guys do for Thanksgiving? If you go over to www.geekwatch1.com, you can let us know. Or any of our social media, let us know what you did for Thanksgiving. Miss Donald, we can start a stream on the Facebook page about it. See if anybody actually has anything fun.
I will post things about it. Go ahead.
Yes.
We'll share everything.
Maybe we'll have a stream somewhere of all the Thanksgiving dinner pictures, your triumphs and tragedies. We'll start a gallery or something.
We want to see what went wrong.
Yes, because I know a lot of us, like, we had never done it before, but it turned out awesome. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that it didn't turn out awesome.
there's always those few.
Some people have had the Christmas story dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, places were open on Thanksgiving, so
that's
you
right.
know.
Since we didn't go down to my parents' house, they ended up going, I think they said they were going to go to Applebee's.
They were hitting whatever and find out what was open.
Yeah, they were going to go up to Belden Village and just see what was open so they could, because it was just the two of them and my grandma.
Yeah.
So, because they were doing everything the next day, my sister was coming down.
Ah.
Okay.
So, but after that, Ms. Dawn, what else is going on in the world?
Well, for those who may have missed it, and I don't know why you would, but this past week, there was a big book release, and I know I got mine and started reading it already. Ready Player 2 came out.
Oh, yeah. I'm about halfway through it.
I'm about 100 pages into it, but I actually read it.
Yeah.
I know someone listens to it.
Well, I go through it a lot easier that way and faster because I can actually do it while I'm doing stuff.
Right. Not as enjoyable, but anyways.
Hey, Will Wheaton is awesome reading that.
Yeah, I'd get sick of his voice, though. That's why I can't listen to him that long. But yeah, so that came out for anyone interested. And there's a lot. It's the usual. There's a lot of Easter eggs and references. It seems like it explains things a little bit too much at times where the first book didn't do that. But maybe people got a little too lost with the first one. I don't know.
Well, it could also be he may have explained things about the same. The problem is we already know what it is he's talking about, so it feels like it's a lot more explaining than he was.
That's that in the first book he didn't explain it quite as much.
Oh, okay.
He let people get away with what they knew or not, whereas this one there seems to be a little bit more, a little more hand holding. Put it that way for maybe possibly because there's a few years in between and people aren't as familiar with the 80s and 90s stuff, but still. No, go ahead.
Oh, I say that and the fact that he may have actually not realized it when he put out the first book, how much of a mainstream audience picked it up.
Right.
He was aiming it at us. And all of us picked up all the references right away. But a lot of the Muggles didn't pick it up right away. They're like, wait a minute. And they were lost on part of it.
And that's why, you know, when it came down to the first movie, it was a matter of making everything obvious.
Yeah.
So, and this will probably become a movie again. Who knows? But it's kind of the same plot. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not.
Yeah, it is similar.
Basically kind of the same plot, but it continues right after the first one and gives you an explanation of what happened with the group and everything. Yeah. And so
maybe December, we'll get a minute to actually sit down and review the book itself on air. Give you guys about a month to actually get a chance to read it. If you don't read it by then it's your fault.
Right. Because I'll be finishing it in the next week, and then Kylan can read it, and then we'll talk about it. But anyway. In other news, another thing, in case you missed the big important reveal, there was a bit of a teaser with a first look at Clifford the Big Red Dog movie.
I heard about that. I've not seen it.
I had to include this one because, come on, honestly, it's Clifford the Big Red Dog. He's awesome. And it put a lot of people off because they're not so sure about this massive red retriever with black eyes that, like, he looks real. So.
Oh, wait. You mean he looks like he looks in the book, just real?
Real, yeah. He's a CGI dog that's red with black eyes.
What did they expect?
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm getting. I'm just like, what? They said it was going to be real. I mean, yeah. So if you missed it, I'm pretty sure I shared it on our Twitter. But if you missed it, it's out there, easy to find. Just look up the teaser. And as no surprise to anyone, Jeopardy needs an interim host, at least before they make a final decision. And they named Ken Jennings as that interim host, which pretty much everyone saw coming.
Yeah.
He's going to host it for a little bit. And he'll basically host as the series production starts again, or has started again by the time this drops, this week on November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be the first of several guest hosts. They haven't named any others. They've only named him so far. They haven't said how long he'll be guest hosting for.
Right.
You figure you got to give him at least a month of shows. He'll probably go a couple months.
Yeah.
And they're probably already, you know, approaching enough other people to do the guest hosting. In case you're that unfamiliar with him, which you shouldn't be if you watch the show, he holds multiple records from his time on Jeopardy, which began in 2004 and lasted for the currently undefeated winning streak of 74 games. He also has the highest average correct responses per game in Jeopardy history, and has gone on to be the highest earning American game show contestant of all time with over $5 million in earnings.
Wow.
So yeah. And he was already, like we mentioned before, when we did our Trebek tribute, he was already still involved with the show anyways as a consultant, and would occasionally read off clues in their video segments and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's got some practice behind him on it, and he just doesn't have the personality, really, but maybe we'll see something else come out of him now that he doesn't have the pressure of having to answer things.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the thing with someone like an Alex Trebek or something like that. They were already an on-air personality and knew how to to work with the camera and with people sitting there beside him, but playing to the camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one is, it looks like the producers, it sounds like they're taking a page from your late-night talk show producers and stuff. When one of the guys that's been there, like a Jay Leno or any of these other guys that decide to retire, they'll do that a lot of times, where they'll have guest hosts filling in here and there, and without telling anybody, they're actually trying them out to see who's going to actually take that spot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think because of the whole LeVar Burton thing, I think no one wants anyone but him.
Yeah.
So that's an issue at the moment. Which is cool and all, but you never know. There may be a few other celebrities in the wings, because they've had Celebrity Jeopardy like every year.
Yeah. Right?
So there's many of them who have the personality plus the knowledge as well.
Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, both Jeff, Mensa.
Jeff Goldblum, no. He's so damn awkward.
I would love
that. Jeff Goldblum would be amazing.
But you have to have an hour-long Jeopardy. Have you heard how slow he speaks?
Well, like, no. He's just methodical and thinks about what he's going to say.
Yes, it would be like Shatner on there, like trying to get him to do a question.
No, Vicky had a suggestion.
I said Chinum Tinum.
See, this is why we need video on these feeds, because you see Colin's face when stuff like this happens.
I want someone with a bit of intelligence, at least.
man. I'm. Ooh. I am not going to.
But he could bring in a whole new crowd. He could do it shirtless.
No.
The younger crowd. Bring the younger crowd into the show.
Well, it'd be late night.
Yeah, no. Channing Tatum could host Jeopardy After Dark.
No. Channing Tatum, go talk to Taco Bell about bringing back the Mexican pizza. That's what Channing Tatum could do. If he did that, maybe my attitude about him would change.
Oh, really? Okay.
Maybe.
We'll see if we can get him on that.
He'll do that after he's done producing the next G.I. Joe movie.
or playing Gambit.
You know what? He ruined it so bad. They got to reboot.
See, the thing is, you're still
Joe franchise. They got to reboot it because he touched it, and now they got to do a whole new different thing with X-Men because he. I can't even.
I don't know. I'm still hearing rumors here and there all over the place that he may actually still be involved in Gambit somehow.
No.
Believing it's not real doesn't make it so, Kylan.
False news, man. False news.
Just because you ignore it doesn't make it go away.
No. You already had a Gambit movie anyway. Huh? Yeah, Hard Target with Van Damme. Basically, he was playing Gambit in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Go watch it, and you'll see.
Moving on. We all know that Doctor Who is having its annual holiday special at the end of December.
Yes, I still have to see the new seasons. I've not seen Jodie Whittaker yet, but now seeing what's going on in this one, I'm going to have to catch up so watch this.
HBO Max.
Yep.
And now we've gotten notice, and the commercials have started airing on television earlier this week. We found out John Barrowman will be returning for that holiday special as Captain Jack Harkness.
You knew this was going to happen at some point because he loves that character too much.
Well, he was last seen. He showed up in a cameo during season 12, in the episode "Fugitive of the Jadoon." He was he showed up to warn Yaz, Ryan, and Graham before he disappeared again. So it's not like he hasn't been back,
right?
But this one is actually called "Revolution of the Daleks," so we know who's going to show up.
Man.
And I heard the Daleks are getting a total redesign or something for this.
It's not a permanent redesign. It's one of the things where they have certain ones are redesigned. The Daleks have had an evolution anyway.
Right.
And they have looked a little different over time, but there's a redesign and they've said it's not permanent because they had a lot of people worrying about it when they announced that. But they said that's not a permanent redesign. It's something in particular for the special.
Oh, no, it's bad enough that they're able to fly now. That was bad. I was just like, when all of a sudden they can fly?
It was one that, like, the old school, the classic Doctor Who, that was the one thing he would tease them about. They couldn't get up the stairs. They couldn't get anywhere. And then all of a sudden, Chris Eccleston comes along, and we have flying Daleks.
I know. I was like, I'm sitting there like, oh, he go up the stairs. He got, oh, what? They can fly now? What? Yeah. I think he said something like it.
Yeah. He was surprised.
You'd think with everything, all the other technology they've mastered, their technological race, they couldn't master anti-gravity.
I know, right? They were going to get there.
They have spaceships.
Yeah. And the other thing to prepare people, because this was actually announced months ago, two of the companions are expected to be leaving in the holiday episode. Ryan and Graham are apparently going to be leaving, whereas Yaz is going to stick with the Doctor.
Okay.
So they're going down from the three companions that she's had so far to just the one. But they said it was going to be open-ended. So thankfully, this means they're not going to be killed because someone always dies in the holiday special.
Man, the thing.
This is the biggest problem with the holiday. That's when the Pawns died, was in a holiday special.
Yeah, the holiday.
Okay, so.
The holiday special, you guarantee tears. They do it on purpose. Yeah.
Doctor Who been trying to ruin Christmas for 50, 60 years now.
Every year. Okay, so aside from that, we also have news of a new installment in the Predator franchise being developed.
Wow.
Being developed by 10 Cloverfield Lane director Dan Trachtenberg.
Okay.
This is the fifth entry in the proper Predator franchise, not including the little spin-offs versus aliens and stuff like that.
Right.
There was four? I knew two Predator. No, wait, they had the two new ones.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, part of the franchise. It's being developed under the 20th Century Films brand, which is now owned by Disney, so it's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
So, which we knew Predator was a Disney character now.
Right.
Predator's a Disney princess. And the script comes from Patrick Aysen, who previously delivered scripts for projects like Jack Ryan and Treadstone.
Oh,
that could be interesting.
So we know you got the action going on here.
I got goosebumps.
But interestingly, now we all know that a couple of years ago, back in 2018, The Predator came out and sucked. We never saw it, but everyone said it sucked.
Actually, I watched it. The only thing I saw a negative on it was they almost tried to get too much into the actual backstory of who the Predators are in their race. Because everything else was a straight Predator movie. Predators show up, start killing people, and people try to survive. That's all you need from a Predator movie. If that's all you're looking for, this movie was fine.
Most people didn't like it, and it did really badly at the box office. So that's where the it sucks comes in.
Yeah.
But interestingly, this new one is not connected to that movie. It's part of the franchise, but it's not connected to the most recent movie. But they're not saying it's a reboot. It's just a new installment.
Okay.
So it could go from whatever the third one was, and then skip it, and then just go in its own story.
Well, really, for these movies, they don't have to be connected. It's just another Predator shows up and does what it does in a different area. They have no idea where the other one was.
It depends how they want to deal with other characters.
Yeah.
Storylines there.
But you would think, you would think that if somebody's dealing with the Predator, they would do research to see if this has shown up anywhere else. So, yeah. Then
when does anyone do research in an action movie?
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
No, they don't.
Yes,
the last one we watched is the one where they were after the autistic kid.
Yeah.
But that was because they were hunting their own. They weren't hunting the humans.
Yeah.
The humans were just in the way.
Yeah, the one that you guys didn't see was actually the Predators hunting a Predator on Earth.
Right. It was the rogue Predator. Oh,
but they were taking genetics from the best of every civilization and genetically modifying themselves. So that's when the one was a giant.
Yeah.
And then they were after the autistic 10-year-old because he was super, super smart.
So that's the stuff they don't like is probably the genetic testing stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, it got tried to get too deep into the motivations of the Predators themselves, not just they're Predators. They get out there, they hunt things.
Right. It's all in the name.
Come on.
I mean, Predator, it's right there. So we'll see. I mean, it's just started in development, so we'll see what happens there. And when it comes, it won't be for at least another year or so. We know that.
Right.
It'll definitely come out because they keep putting out Terminator movies.
That's right. As long as there are Terminators, there will be Predators.
And there's they've not announced it, but there's another Alien movie coming at some point.
After people are done with all their other big, we're gonna have our couple of Avatars, and then we'll get into more of these movies.
Yeah, we're never getting Avatar 2.
Avatar 2 and 3 is already done, man. They've already done filming. They're doing final touches on the stuff.
All the post production crap.
Remember, we know people that were in Avatar 2 and 3. They're done filming. Yeah.
I still refuse to see the first one, so I don't really care. But
I want to watch it.
It was very pretty.
I'll go on the ride at Disney, but I don't care about the movie. Really? Okay, the last thing I have, because obviously it was a slow news week on this side of the pond anyway, there is a new James Bond 007 game coming along.
Mm-hmm.
Hitman developer IO Interactive is working on a new game featuring an original James Bond story. Release time frame was not announced, nor was it confirmed what platforms it would be on, but quite honestly, it'll be everywhere.
Yeah.
A teaser trailer is all we have so far, in addition to a brief description of what they hope to accomplish. IO Interactive says, featuring a wholly original Bond story, players will step into the shoes of the world's favorite secret agent to earn their 00 status in the very first James Bond origin story. See, I knew that would get you.
Okay.
Again, we need the video for Kylan as he's got his O face on.
Yeah.
The developer has talked in the past about working on different projects besides the Hitman franchise it's known for, because that's its main deal.
Right.
But this is the actual first reveal of another major project that they're doing. And for those who are into the Hitman franchise, the third game is scheduled to release on January 20th. So it'll be after that the Bond will show up probably in a year or so. And it may or may not end up on a PS4. Kylan's hoping it'll be on the PS4 because he doesn't want to have to get the PS5 right away. But if it's at least a year out, it might just be the PS5. You never know.
I mean, by that point, I might be looking at the PS5 anyway. I'm holding off
because I don't want to. I really don't feel the need to get the 5 yet anyway.
But you
want to
hold off till the glitches are worked out.
Right. I want to hold off till the glitches
like with the Xbox.
Out.
You kind of want all the glitches worked out and then you get one.
Yeah. So.
Like next year on Black Friday when they'll have a big sale on them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as long as they continue to be backwards compatible, because I don't want to give up all my PS4 games. Not that the truth is, I don't really have a ton of PS4 games, but I just don't want to lose them. But,
well, man, you played Hitman, right, Kylan? I know you probably have.
I have it. I have it, but I haven't played it yet.
That's my problem too. Are they first person shooters? Or are they third person?
I don't know.
I think they're third person.
Okay, because everything. If I remember right, because James Bond has had a storied history of trying to do video games. They've had one or two that have done really, really well for them. And that GoldenEye was the best one they've done.
Yeah, GoldenEye was the best one they've done.
And a lot of that, though, you got to think, a lot of the popularity on that one was the first-person shooter aspect. The actual arena combat was what people... So if they don't have something like that in this game, I think they're going to have a hard time actually selling it as much. Because they've tried doing the James Bond spy game. And it's not really worked fantastic for them yet. I mean, it's been okay, but it's not done great.
Well, see, the thing with the reason why GoldenEye did as well as it did was because it was like the first one of the first games of that type to have like a multiplayer experience.
Yeah,
and but that was on the Super Nintendo.
That was N64.
Yeah,
N64.
Yeah, N64.
But you still have people getting N64s just to play that game.
Right. Now I think the last Bond game that I played was one that was on the PS2, and I forget the name of it. I liked it. It was good. You know, it had some puzzles, it had some driving challenges, that sort of thing. And plus, I enjoyed that. And I think if they're taking a page from the popularity of the Splinter Cell games and the Hitman games,
and Rainbow Six, look at all the stuff they did with any of the Tom Clancy franchises.
I think we're gonna see. And plus, since this is in essence an origin story, I'd be jazzed to see this because we've never really seen what led to him becoming 00. I mean, in...
Daniel Craig is the closest we've got to it, because Casino Royale was the end of his, basically, training, quote-unquote. Yeah. And in Skyfall, you see some of his background, but not the actual story.
Not exactly, so...
And obviously, this is all approved and everything, so...
Ooh.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's not because this isn't even in the books.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, it's gonna be.
I did a quick check on Hitman games. They're not first person.
Mm-hmm.
The second one apparently had a first person player option, but wasn't an easy to find option.
Right.
But the appeal of the second one for a lot of people was a multiplayer element.
Right.
So that's another thing that is a possibility.
Yeah, that's something they're definitely going to have in this because, like I said, that's one thing that James Bond seems to have always done well is the multiplayer arena.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's one of the things that people love about the Call of Duty games is the multiplayer aspect. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, in general, most of your first-person shooters, that's why a lot of times in more recent years, they tried a couple years ago to start dropping the one single-player campaign modes on a lot of these. It got huge backlash, but people usually they'll play through that and then that's it, and then they'll still play the game for years in multiplayer.
Yeah, people want a mix of it; they don't want to just be forced to do one or the other.
Well, and that's something like because I'm playing through Black Ops now, and one of the things that I like that they've done to try to increase replayability is to have multiple endings for the. For the single player campaign, because in your conversations you have different responses.
It's a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
which is similar to what happened with Alpha Protocol, which I liked the game. I was hoping for Alpha Protocol 2, but it didn't sell well. But one of the things they really liked about it was that you could get multiple endings in that.
Yeah,
so,
most of your role playing games do that too.
Like
your Final Fantasy sometimes, but I remember the big one was Knights of the Old Republic, the first one that came out, every time you had a decision, it made a change on the way the game worked.
Right. So yeah, I think that's going to be, I'm definitely jazzed, as they say.
We'll keep up on it for when it's going to come out and everything. And yeah. News.
Well, yeah. I did see something, though, on YouTube that I have to sit down and watch. We've already covered that GeForce coming back. Did you guys see what they did for Thanksgiving?
No.
They did. If you go to GeForce YouTube channel, they have a 3-hour hosted by Ron Funches reunion of the cast members. They had Kevin Pereira, Olivia Munn, all the X-Play hosts. There was like 6 of them. And then Ron Funches sitting around the dining room table having dinner for like 3 hours talking about G4 and the classic Attack of the Show, X-Play, and all the other stuff that they had going. And they also announced this week the newest member of the production and hosting team is they've hired Xavier Woods to actually produce content and host.
Okay.
From WWE. Austin Creed. A lot of people would know him as Austin Creed from Twitch or Xavier Woods on WWE.
Okay.
So he's got a huge – you ever hear of the Up, Up, Down, Down channel?
Yeah.
That's Xavier Woods.
Okay.
So it's a lot of video, classic video games, modern video games, role-playing games, all of it on his YouTube channel and his Twitch channel.
All right, cool.
So that's going to be awesome. Huh?
The thing is, a lot of the stuff you used to catch on G4 ended up on YouTube. That's like a big segment of YouTube now is people getting subscribers for their gaming stuff and the sort of stuff that they used to have as shows on G4.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they said G4, as of right now, they've confirmed X-Play's coming back. And they're going to do Attack of the Show also. And it's going to be a digital-first platform. So I don't know if it's going to start as a YouTube channel or as a Twitch channel. But then it's going to, being that it's owned by Comcast, they'll have it on broadcast somewhere.
And honestly, because it's so game-heavy, I could see it being Twitch instead of YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I think when they first started it, it started as super game-heavy as game old. In early 2000s, it was reaching an audience, but the audience was not the same size as it is now.
Right.
An actual all-game broadcast television channel now will do a whole lot better than it did back in the early 2000s.
I know Donna and I watched G4 like all the time, and then they started changing the programming and changing it, and then you're like, wait, they're about to go away.
You can always tell when a channel's about to either switch to something completely different or just disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like they've brought back a lot of the minds behind the original.
Well,
so that hopefully it'll have the same spirit of what the original was.
Right.
And the other one is a short little one. Did you guys see the news this morning?
About
David Prowse?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got to say goodbye. Darth Vader, we've lost. It came out this morning. We record on Sundays. So we have to say goodbye to David Prowse, passed at 85 years old. I guess he's been battling sickness for a little while.
Yes.
So, but 85 years old, that's a long run for especially someone of his size. Because he was legit, 6'8", or almost 7 foot?
Really tall. We saw him at a convention a few years back and at one of the autograph tables or whatever, and he had stood up to take a picture with someone. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we weren't even like within 5 feet of the table. It was kind of like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It was kind of like seeing Peter Mayhew, because we saw him as well, and they were both way
huge,
up there.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, I may be wrong, but he was hired on, obviously, before Peter Mayhew because he was already a stuntman, but he was given the option of Darth Vader or Chewbacca, either way, when he was hired in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess Vicky read the one article that what you would know as the main cast of Star Wars for the original three, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are the only ones that are left.
Yep.
I mean, there's plenty of the side characters and stuff that are still alive, but your main cast... Han, Luke, Leia, Anthony Daniels is still here.
Yeah, but I'm talking like the main ones.
Yeah. So basically it's just the three of them that were there for all the movies and where the main actual story revolved around them.
Wasn't talking about the robots.
Yeah. So, got to say goodbye. So, but from there, do you have anything else before we get into talking some of these holiday things that have happened?
Oh, now we need to talk about the happy holidays.
Yes. There's a bunch of stuff that came out this week, as always does. Thanksgiving weekend, usually you get a flood of holiday stuff.
Yeah,
but it actually started last week on Life Day.
Over the past couple weeks, there have been things, and over the next few weeks there will be things.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the first one that seemed to hit was the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah, we watched it on the 17th, which, if anybody didn't know, the 17th for Star Wars fans is known as Life Day because that was the day the original Star Wars holiday special premiered back in 1978.
Which you can catch on YouTube, and you definitely should.
Or you can get it on DVD. I have it on DVD. You can, yeah, if you go to the flea market, you can get it on DVD.
That means actually paying for it, and this is not actually worth paying for. Just watch it on YouTube. Okay. Kylan and I waited. I told him I'm not watching any holiday stuff until after Thanksgiving dinner, and that's how it worked out. Mm-hmm. So we actually waited. I know it was Life Day, but basically still Christmassy. it was fun. I mean, it was kind of corny, but it's the Lego thing. So.
It's exactly – anybody who's seen the Lego Star Wars specials and stuff knows this was a Lego special, which – those movies are fantastic. They're hilarious. They get the jokes right, seems like. They have – and they do – like really good kids stuff. There's stuff that the adults pick up that the kids goes right past the kids, and then there's plenty of stuff for the kids to laugh at too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have something like Star Wars, there are so many references, and this special literally throws, well, literally dumps them at you. There is, yes, technically a,
yeah,
there is there, and they actually described it as a dump when they were doing production. They basically wanted it as if a kid took his toys and dumped them on the floor.
That's pretty much what
that's
happened.
What you literally get in one part of, yes, this special.
Well, that's how you do it when you play Lego, isn't it?
Exactly, all the toys on the floor. And okay, there, I like the Lego specials like this because I think Star Wars takes itself too seriously, like all the time. Mm-hmm. So this, putting comedy with Star Wars, is the best way to go. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many smart-ass comments and jokes along the way. And, you know, having Darth Vader be just as pouty as his grandson was fantastic.
And the cool thing is, if anybody hasn't seen the other Lego Star Wars specials, these are the exact same characters out of those. This is a continuation on what they've had already.
Yeah, and it's all the characters you know. And, okay, the premise of this one basically is that Rey is training Finn.
Yeah.
And she can't figure out why he doesn't get it. And so she has to go, you know, to this temple, of course, because there's always a temple you have to travel to in Star Wars.
That's right.
So she has to go to the temple and discover a thing that helps her teach him. And that's basically the whole plot. But at the same time, you have the rest of the crew trying to set up and celebrate Life Day, which, like I said, watch the original special and then you'll get the whole thing about Life Day.
And you do get to see the rest of Chewbacca's family, which were in the original special.
Yes.
Yes.
And they do give you a basic snippet of what Life Day is at the very beginning, too.
Right. Yeah.
They do explain it. It's basically their version of Christmas, essentially. And there's lots of food, and you invite a lot of people over. And so if you know all the recent movies, some of the shows, all that kind of thing, you'll see, like, all the characters in Lego versions. Mm-hmm. But Rey gets to basically time travel through this and meet earlier versions of characters, mm-hmm, especially Master Luke, mm-hmm, and Obi-Wan, and then those versions meet themselves and don't know what's going on, and then they fight together, and then they fight each other, and then a lot of fighting. Star Wars lightsabers come out.
Some of the huge Star Wars fans, a lot of them would recognize a lot of the prequel or Clone Wars era voices that are in this are the actual, right, actors who played the characters in the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Right.
Right.
So you get James Arnold Taylor and Matt Lanter and a lot of these other ones that we've not heard for a while, unless you will see Clone Wars, actually playing those characters again. So just like, even off screen, you know who the character is that's talking.
Right. And overall it's good, and it's cute the way they have the characters interacting with themselves, like all the Obi-Wans who meet each other, and they're all just like, hello.
Hello there. Totally.
And Han meeting himself, and, yeah, and young Luke going, I have no idea who the hell you are.
Yeah.
And old Luke looking at Kylo Ren, I don't know who you are. there's a lot of pouty people. There's a lot. I mean, it was fun. I mean, for what was it, like 45 minutes or something?
Yeah, something like that. It's a lot of that is the same reasons that we like the Lego games, because the Lego games have a lot of the exact same humor. It's just you're playing through it instead of watching it.
And really, it gives you – they're really good with any of the Lego stuff, any of the movies and specials and games, giving you the Lego effect. Right. Like, when things get blown up or broken, it's the blocks that come out of it.
Yeah.
Or they lose their hair. Like, there was that one that, like, when Rey landed in Dagobah, her hair came off.
Yeah.
And she shook it and put it back on. Like, it's just things like that. And the way they did Kylo Ren when he was shirtless and his pants were up drawn up on the torso.
Yeah.
That was just dude, funny. The dude was uncomfortable. Can you put a shirt on?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's recommended. Even if you're not all that into Star Wars, you know about it. You know enough about it to get into it. You know the characters, even just seeing the trailers.
You don't have to know Star Wars to actually watch this because the characters are explained pretty well in what makes the comedy work is not just because it's Star Wars.
Right. And if you are a fan of Star Wars, you get more out of it because of the references and who people are and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Your kids will love it regardless. Like, put it on for your kids. They'll love it. Just because of all the Lego action and destroying each other and all that kind of stuff and falling through portals, falling. So many portals. But there you go. That was the Lego Star Wars holiday special, and that is on Disney Plus right now.
I'm still wondering if Disney Plus, I don't think anybody at Disney Plus is brave enough to actually just randomly out of nowhere drop the regular Star Wars holiday special on for like 24 hours and don't tell anybody and then take it off just to see how many people notice it.
I really don't think there's anyone who has the ability to do anything on there on their own.
Yeah.
So. No.
Well, also the problem is finding a copy that's good enough to be able to scan and clean and how much money it would take to make it worth able to put it up digitally.
That's just it. I mean, you look at so many of the movies that haven't made it to Disney Plus because they haven't gone through the process yet of being able to be shown on high def television.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not going to happen with the special.
And the Star Wars holiday special purposely was never touched since 1978. He got rid of as much of that as he could because Lucas did not like it.
Right.
Even though it was his idea to start with.
Right. Of course. Okay, so moving on to other specials. In case you missed it, here's one that was kind of worth missing, but we watched it anyway. On Friday night, there was a Minions holiday special.
Okay.
It was all new for this year. And the thing is, when they advertised it, it's like the Minions holiday special. So it's all it wasn't a holiday special, okay? All this was four mini movies, they called them.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, obviously basically just 6 or 7 minutes each. Only one of them was Christmassy, Santa's Little Helpers.
Right.
The other ones, called Training Wheels, Puppy, and Minion Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
They were cute little shorts, but they weren't holiday related. So it was just their excuse of putting Minion shorts together into a half hour format to put out there on television. I mean, they did advertise it as all new and all this kind of stuff, but it was disappointing. Put it that way.
It was, yeah.
See, if you can catch Santa's Little Helpers somewhere else, I would say just try and catch that short and watch it.
Right.
For Christmassiness, but in general, it wasn't a holiday special.
No.
So there you go. But if you like the Minions, you'll like it anyway. The other one I know we all watched was Alien Xmas.
That one was strange. And I do like the fact that they filmed it and made it look like an old Rankin-Bass holiday special.
Yeah, it looked claymation, basically. It wasn't claymation, but it looked claymation. Stop motion claymation, that's how it looked.
Vicky did notice the Care Bear reference in it, though, kinda.
Yeah.
Idea.
the colors. This is a new one from Netflix that has not been well advertised, is not easy to find. You either have to go to your search function and type in Alien Xmas for it to come up, or you have to go all the way down in the menus to the boxes. Those big boxes that have the overbearing categories that they don't have anything else in, and there's a holiday category that it shows up in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's not just right there with new releases and stuff unless you do a lot of searching. So,
well, until you've watched four or five holiday specials that are on there or holiday movies, then it pops up in your actual feed. And because you watch this, you can watch.
Yes, that's true. If you've been watching a lot of holiday stuff, you'll get it pop up. But that's the only way. But that means you're spending hours watching other holiday stuff.
Yeah. Which we did this weekend, so you don't have to if you don't want to.
That's right. But yeah, like you said, it looks like the old school stop motion kind of stuff. It is, at its heart, it's a basic Christmas story.
Yeah.
Where everyone ultimately has to get along and feel good and be Christmassy. But it's about a bunch
It definitely has a Grinch feel, too.
Yes. Yes, it has. I think that's probably what inspired it, because if you think about the Grinch, he wants to take all their presents away and take away all the decorations and stuff.
This time the Kleptos want to do it, or the Kleps.
The Kleps, which this alien race is called the Kleps. They go around basically just stealing everything they can.
Right.
Get it? Their name's the Kleps.
They're all about stuff.
Yeah, it's all about the stuff. They say stuff all the time. They talk about taking stuff. And so they're running out of stuff to get, and they discover Earth, and Earth has a lot of stuff.
Right.
So Earth is all about the stuff.
Yeah, they need someone to go down to Earth and create this essentially weapon that will remove gravity and let all the stuff float into space, because this makes complete sense, float into space, and then they can suck up all the stuff into their ship. So don't look for science in this one.
It's a holiday special. Is there supposed to be science?
There's magic and alien technology. That's what it is.
Yeah. Don't go clouding our fun with science and logic.
So the little bitty alien dude who's like the short guy and he wants to prove his worth. He comes down to Earth and sets up in the North Pole, not knowing what the North Pole is all about. And of course there's a clash between Santa and him and he becomes friends with a little girl and learns the true meaning of Christmas and glows blue all of a sudden because the aliens are all gray for a reason. They tell you that in the story. And then in the end, they're all rainbow colored because they're happy and they've learned the true meaning of Christmas. But it was cute. It was different. It stands out because it was different.
Right.
That's what it is. It wasn't just sad and sappy and family. It was cute and different because of the alien thing. Like they're zapping each other. Like they're not yeah. friendly.
Oh, they're not. No,
no, and they don't just steal stuff from other people. They steal it from each other.
Yes, that's how bad it is. They just want the stuff. And the funny thing is, when the elves kind of try to defend themselves and attack back, they're using their Christmas decorating accessories as weapons. Like, because they have a gun that shoots bows onto things, and so they shoot it at the aliens, and it wraps them up in ribbon.
Yeah, right. this is very much could have been. I mean, with some tweaking, a Rankin and Bass special, because that's the type of stuff you'd see in that.
Yeah,
with exactly. The Bumble and all those guys.
Yeah, I thought it was funny when she's like, "Yeah, just point the gun at the dog."
I know. I'm just like, wait, what if it doesn't work?
We'll find out. Your dad's stuff always works, kinda.
Yeah, I expected the dog to just be wrapped up
like a mummy,
right? So, but it was. I think it's a pretty good addition.
It's another one that was fun. It was only like 45 minutes, so it doesn't take that long to go through and watch it and have a good time with it.
Yeah.
So one of the voices I have to admit, like one of the voices I was a little distracted from was the voice of Z, and
that was the queen, the one in charge.
That was the queen. I looked at Don. I said, "She sounds like Rita Repulsa."
And guess what? It's the voice of Rita Repulsa
I was like,
I'll have to
oh
go
God.
Back and listen.
Yeah, because well, you know, I watch enough Power Rangers that I was
Kyla would know
from the original. I thought yeah. she passed away.
No, nope, she's alive. Well, the voice is alive now. The actress that played her,
yeah, because I mean, the actress in the original would have been speaking Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah,
she would have. You know, obviously,
that,
she wasn't.
Yeah. That may have been actually who passed, was the actual actress.
The voice for the American version is the one who was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. But we have other ones that we watched. There was one on Thanksgiving night. Kylan and I watched one of the televised ones, which will probably end up on Disney Plus if it's not there already. It was The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration. And because I'm a Disney geek, we had to watch it. Yep. It was hosted by the Huffs, that brother sister dance team. I don't remember who they are. Anyway, so the opening thing was them dancing, and then they make
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, those people. Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch it. But basically, it wasn't new performances. It was a new collection of previous performances, because obviously they're keeping all of that to a minimum this year.
Right.
And so it was celebrity singing performances, all different ones, mostly within the past couple of years. They weren't all that old.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were at the various Disney parks. And then in between, they showed the holiday lighting ceremonies from the past year or two of the castles from the different parks.
Right.
So they did them kind of globally. So you could see all of them around the world lighting mm-hmm. up and all that kind of thing. So that was kind of cool. And because of the whole park situation, we know we're not going to get a lot of the live stuff for even the Christmas parade at Disney this year, but they're probably going to reuse some stuff and all pre-recorded stuff anyway, but it's a way for them to kind of get it out there without having the crowds there and having to come up with all the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Actually, that's kind of sad because they do this every year on Thanksgiving night, and usually it's a preview of what's coming up for the Disney parks.
Right.
Right.
And right now, they don't have anything coming up. They can't.
Well, they do. The one thing they did preview, which is something that they had a bit of a thing about earlier in the year, is the new Ratatouille ride that's coming for the France Pavilion in Epcot.
Right.
This is a ride that already exists in France at the Disney park. And it's all about, basically you get on this little car and you become the rats and you're going through the kitchen, as if it's Ratatouille, and you're actually going like under the stove and you feel the heat above you and you're taking weird turns and stuff. So it kind of gave you a look at that at one point. And that's kind of the only new thing that's coming because they've been working on it for more than just this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of something they've continued to work on. So it's still coming. But you know, the parks are technically open, but they're just not going to be a lot of people there. So they did give that little preview.
Well, that's also, isn't that, have they done Ratatouille anywhere else, or is this the first time they've done Ratatouille on it?
It's in France. They've got it.
Okay. Cause if I remember it, that's also one that's, it's very similar in the way they design that one, that they did a lot of similar technology with what they used with Rise of the Resistance at Galaxy's Edge.
Right. They, I mean, but Disney does that with the rides anyway. They've got a lot of rides that are like that.
Yeah.
Where it's interactive depending where you go, and you get, I think there is a 3D film element to it. Like you have to put your glasses on and you get 3D effects as you get screens in certain areas. But yeah, if you're interested in knowing kind of what this is, there are actually ride through videos on YouTube of the one in France.
Okay.
Because a few months ago, I actually watched one of those when I knew it was coming to Florida. So it's in French, but you get the feel of it. You can tell what's going on, so it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of the only preview they were able to give right now.
Wonder if any of our coaster friends have been on it.
Well,
probably not to the one in France. But
yeah,
you know, everybody's planning on going as soon as it comes here to America.
It's not really a coaster, though.
Yeah,
right.
Not that level. It's not that sort of excitement. It doesn't actually have a track that in that way.
No, if I remember right, they said there's no tracks at all. It's all just pre-programmed, almost like drone cars.
It's the new way that they do the car rides. It's basically what they would do with Haunted Mansion if it were new.
Right.
There's no track for it to follow, but it's all under the surface of the floor. They lead it along magnetically and that kind of thing.
So. Well, actually, I think now they're using RFID tags and actually doing it like a self-driving vehicle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's still something you don't control it.
Yeah.
But you get the effect, and it means the ride can be slightly different every time as well.
Yeah, they can reprogram it any way they want. As long as those tags are on the floor, they just reprogram what order they go to.
Exactly.
Right.
So, but moving on to other stuff to watch. One of the big ones for Netflix this year that was popular a couple years ago was the sequel to Christmas Chronicles.
We actually watched the first one this year also because we'd never seen it yet. Dude, those elves are awesome.
They are.
They're
completely not what you expect.
No.
So, and actually this one this year, Vicky even pointed it out first, but it had very much a Gremlins feel to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because
what happens with the elves?
Green mist. Yeah, it was a green mist that came around.
Yeah, blue mist.
Or the blue mist.
Elfsbane.
Elfsbane.
Yeah, I mean,
you know it's bad when it's got Bane in the name.
Well, I know, like when we watched the first one last year, like was it 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I was hoping for a sequel because I liked this version of Santa. Like,
it's honestly, it's surprising how good Kurt Russell is as Santa.
Right.
Imagine if Elvis was a Santa Claus.
Exactly. And that's what it is. And that's what made the first one so enjoyable was because, okay, first of all, Kurt Russell as a kid was in an Elvis movie.
Yeah.
And he's played Elvis in a movie.
Yeah.
Like he is basically an Elvis dude.
Yeah.
He is.
And he's never been quiet about being a huge Elvis fan to start with.
Exactly. Exactly. No. So, especially when you get to like the musical number in the first one, the jailhouse.
Yes.
And I have to admit, one of the reasons we watched the first one was because of the Challenger.
Yeah.
There was a red Challenger involved in the first one. Massive car chase. I was happy with that. Like that was that was one of the reasons I wanted to watch it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have to see what Santa does with this.
I enjoyed that one, but that one really is just a standard Christmas Save Santa movie.
Right.
The second one, though, I think I enjoyed much more once we get to that one.
The honestly, I liked the first one better because it was strictly Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reveal at the end of who Mrs. Claus is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that they have the second one and it's Santa and Mrs. Claus,
mm-hmm.
Played by Goldie Hawn, real life partner of Kurt Russell, in case you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made it kind of awesome that was Santa and Mrs. Mm-hmm. Claus.
Yeah.
The second one is definitely more kid oriented because of all the elves.
Right.
Like that's what I felt like. The first one was kind of more generally like maybe older kid, teenager kind of thing, mm-hmm. and family thing. The second one definitely played more to the younger crowd because of the animated elves.
Yeah. Right.
That and the second one had more of an adventure feel to it.
It did. It had. It
the first
had,
one is more of an action movie, where this one had the adventure side.
And it had the little kid, the younger kid, who had to find his courage,
yeah.
and do something, as well as the girl from the first one who had to help save the day as well. So, and of course, you had the kid from Deadpool who was the bad guy.
Right.
It took Kylan almost the entire movie before he realized he was from Deadpool.
And I was trying to remember. He looked familiar.
I thought he caught it right at the beginning, and I'm like, he was in Deadpool! But it finally came to him. In the second one, I liked that it was kind of evenly split between Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
You basically had the two parallel stories going on at the same time, where the first one was just one story all the way through.
Right. And I mean, because I think the first one needed that because you needed to know what this Santa was all about.
Right.
And I think they knew going in that they just had to be a little bit popular and they'd get a sequel out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I liked the way, you know, they were like, this is Mrs. Claus's village.
Right.
Yeah.
She put it all together. Well, I never thought about that.
And even towards the end, he's still being like, I don't know. That's still the jury's still out on this.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, uh-huh. But Mrs. Claus is cool with it. She's fine.
Yeah.
It's because she knows who's really running the show.
Exactly. And that little bit of time travel in there, so mm-hmm. that the girl got to see her dad.
Yeah.
But of course, another big musical number.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
That was an awesome musical number.
Mm-hmm.
It really. I'm like, you know what? I know what it's like to be in an airport around the holidays. It's like, you know, like Santa said, there's no Christmas spirit, you know, in the airport at that point. and then for that whole, and right before the number comes up, Don says, I think we're about to get a musical number. And I go, what? As sure as everything.
And if you don't know, that gate attendant is Darlene Love.
Okay, I knew I recognized her. I didn't remember the name.
Famous singer. She sang He's a Rebel. She sang It's a Marshmallow World.
And she was in, she performed in the...
She actually performed in the Macy's Parade this year.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I got to look it up, but if I remember, even in the first one, the band that actually plays in jail, if I remember, that's Steve Vai's band.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yeah, so they make sure to go there for the references. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Darlene Love is 79 years old, for goodness sake. 79.
She can still belt it out.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so it was a fun movie for sure.
And you know, and I'm wondering if outside of being an Elvis fan, if Kurt Russell is a music buff or somebody connected to this movie is because of the musical guests that are brought in or the
mm-hmm.
talent that's brought in, because it's not what you would consider popular talent in the sense of, oh, you know, this is like somebody who's hot on the charts right now, you know?
Well, yeah, but it's timeless talent.
It is timeless.
Yeah. It's blues and that feel, you know?
Yeah.
The first one was a straight blues band, but they were actually playing an Elvis song from the late 50s.
Yeah. It's early pop and rock. It's
right.
It's the timeless stuff. Because if you went ahead and tried to put in a present day performer, the movie wouldn't last.
No.
Like, it would be popular, sure.
Right.
But in years to come, people probably wouldn't, for that sake, they wouldn't bother going to the movie. And if you're going to put someone well known from today in it, that's how you're trying to attract people to your movie. You're not attracting them through the movie itself.
Right.
So I think that's why they went for old school stars for that. And I mean, really, Kurt Russell's an old school star anyway.
Yeah. Right.
If you consider a lot of the stuff he's known for.
Mm-hmm. Well, that also, like you said at the beginning, he goes back far enough that his first movie, he was starring with Elvis.
Yes. He kicked Elvis in the shin.
Yes,
it was
he did.
It was late 50s, early 60s.
Yes, he kicked him in the shin, for goodness sake. Kurt Russell was a bratty little kid. But he was
a Disney kid.
He's also done a lot of Disney movies. Disney Plus has a lot of his movies on there now.
Yeah.
A lot of those early ones. Go check out Russell movies. But yeah, I think, and interestingly, Kurt Russell has basically said he doesn't want to do a lot more acting anyway, and he would be fine if Santa was the last role he played. So,
well, especially this Santa. I thought this was a really fun way of doing Santa. Because he's not what you expect.
No.
But he's not so far off the mark that it doesn't look like Santa Claus.
No.
Right. And I mean, like, Kurt Russell is almost 70 years old. So,
right. So,
if that's his last role, it's his last role. And like you said, as this Santa, he's not the Santa you expect. He's a hip Santa, but it's kind of like he stayed up with the times because that's what Santa has to do. If you're building toys that kids want, you got to stay up with the times.
Well, you know what I say? He knows how to code.
Yep.
He's coded a little bit.
He's all about computers and using that and, you know, updating the sleigh and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
that is a cool looking sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, the other movie that's on Netflix that was new this year is I thought it was fantastic. It's a movie. It's a Christmas musical. It's called Jingle Jangle: A Christmas Journey.
Yeah, we didn't know how much of a musical it was going to be, but I thought it was really, really fun. I liked the way they used the CG in there just to augment what was actually already there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And I like, all around, it just has a fantastic holiday movie feel.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Because, first of all, you have a great cast behind it, some great singers and actors, and the costumes they gave everyone and the settings they created was just Christmassy. Like, it was just, it was all there.
What it is all of us have grown up long enough watching the Victorian Christmas stuff. Scrooge and watching all these other ones that happened to Victorian time. And that's what this feels, because this is the late 1800s that this is happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this puts you directly into the Christmas feel for it.
It does. And it's kind of like you get that setting, but you also get a modernized version of what they're wearing, because the clothes they wore would never have been that colorful.
No.
But that's what made it such a festive movie.
Right.
And for me, like, that was a big part of why this worked was because of the costuming. Like, seriously, I don't know if it'll be up for any awards, but it should be, because I was impressed by the costume.
Well, basically, it's a modern musical. It's set in a period of time.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at, like, the songs are very kind of like traditional stage musical kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liked. It had some of the feel of a more modern, a little bit of hip-hop feel to it, but not as far as, like, Hamilton goes.
Right.
But it still felt like a classic musical.
They had, and a lot of the dancing was more modern.
Right.
Like, it definitely had, the dancing itself had more of the hip hop feel than the music. And I think it worked really well together, though.
It did.
Because it made you watch it. Like, you couldn't not watch it. And overall, it was just like a really good story. Like, you kind of knew from the beginning that Journey was Felicia Rashad. Like, I don't know about you, but I knew that at the beginning.
See, I didn't pick that one up right away. I did, once they introduced the family, I thought she was the mother. She was going to be the mother, and Journey was her daughter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was obvious that she was someone involved in the story.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But the way they, like, it, basically, they had magic in this story, but it made sense, along with the science they had. Like, they used science to back up the magic. Like, they came up with the theory of the possible and things like that. And then they actually had science behind it. They were coming up with equations and things like that to back it up.
And then the little robot, that part of the building the robot is you have to actually believe or the mechanical stuff won't work.
Exactly. Right. It was like Tinkerbell being like dying, and you had to believe in her to bring her back to life. Mm-hmm. Like it was that whole fairy thing,
right?
And really the what was he considered, the bullfighter or the matador?
Yeah,
the matador. The Ricky Martin dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know what that was, that liquid he dropped in him. That was just some liquid, some magical liquid that arrived.
Right.
That he dropped into him and suddenly he came to life.
Right.
You know, so.
It was the same stuff that's in Frosty's hat.
There you go. That's what it was. But it was just like the combination of those things and how very strong girl scientist vibe they had in this.
Yeah.
Is important. Considering what so many classic holiday movies are like, they may be kid focused, but there's usually a boy involved. So there was a lot of science in this, and it was very steampunky. I just think it was a really overall like positive, good message kind of movie, both for the holidays and in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but well, being that we're all steampunk fans a little bit, it's like, dude, this had so much clockwork, it's not even funny.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Everything was clockwork in this thing.
The clockwork made sense though.
Yeah,
like there. Reason for it. It wasn't just because there should be gears on it, you know. Right. It was the clockworks had function, literal functions. Like on the matador, you had them in his joints, and in the robot, you had them inside him, and stuff like that. So everything made sense in that.
And
way.
The building has clockworks and gears all over the place, but then you see the front of the building's got a giant clock.
Right. Exactly. Right. And they use like little thing. He created a little elevator. You know, and when she stepped on that pad and the elevator went up and out, you know, so there were all these little things along the way.
Right.
And quite honestly, it's a completely out of left field role for Forrest Whitaker.
It is.
But it really worked.
But actually, the character, the way the role is, yes, but the character, the personality of the character is not that far off from what we've seen before on some things.
Well, that's true.
The role itself, the person of it was different. But the actual who he's play, the way he played it was very much what we've seen from him on other things.
He does tend to play the quiet, awkward type.
Right.
And as he's getting older, you're getting a little bit more curmudgeon-y stuff too some.
Right. But it kind of, I don't know, this role just felt kind of different for him because maybe it was because he doesn't usually do the whole family thing.
No, he doesn't.
Like usually you see him in these roles, but he's a loner or he's a cop. Or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it was like he had to have heart behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
That he doesn't usually do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and I think I've heard of him doing stuff on Broadway, but you don't see him in musicals very often unless you're seeing an actual stage show.
No. And that was the other thing. Like you could tell that was his singing voice.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You could tell it was his voice. And but it was just overall, it was really enjoyable. And like it's kind of nothing like and a lot like what we've seen before.
Right.
It's kind of like it has the Christmas feel. It has the musical thing, but the story is original. The music is original. The costuming, it's an original story. And I think they could even do a sequel with it. They could go far with it.
Yeah,
they could.
It doesn't need it at all. I mean, it's a great self-contained movie.
Yeah.
But they could if they wanted to continue it with the way some of the characters were.
Right.
And Keenan-Michael Key playing the villain was awesome in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the real villain was the Matador.
Yeah.
Because he was basically Rasputin. He convinced him to do all this.
Right. Yeah.
And so Keenan-Michael Key could have been a very twisting the mustache evil villain. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't entirely likable, but he wasn't all entirely bad.
No, he wasn't. No.
You know, he was convinced. He basically was gaslighted by the Matador.
Right.
He was misguided.
Yes.
And even the Matador, really, it seemed like he wasn't, you could see, he wasn't doing things because it's evil. He was doing it because he's unique and he wanted to stay unique.
Yes. It was all for him, though. I mean, it was all about him.
Oh, yeah.
It was all greed and that. The whole, I think that, you know, the kind of the point of the story is, you know, greed is bad.
Right.
And with Journey, the whole point for her was just be yourself. Don't worry about what other people say.
Right.
Which, exactly. I mean, definitely resonates with any geek out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So
but I highly recommend it. I don't care who you are. I highly recommend watching Jingle Jangle on Netflix.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. It was a good movie. So was there any other stuff you guys watched that we normally wouldn't throw in here? Just a quick mention.
There was. I mean, we were just kind of looking at the new stuff. And like, there's more stuff coming in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That I did want to mention. Like, you have, it will have been this past Monday, but they're going to replay it. The Disney Holiday Sing Along, which is going to be more performances, but they'll have the lyrics and stuff to sing along with. On Cartoon Network coming on Friday, they have Elf Buddy's Musical Christmas.
Okay.
Which is another claymation looking one. And I'm not sure, because I've only seen the ads for it. I'm not positive if they actually did stop motion or if it's computer animated. But it's based on Elf. It's just a new story.
Right.
With more music.
Okay. Well, did you guys see actually back in Christmas Chronicles 2? Did you see what was playing in the theater in the North Pole?
Yeah.
Elf. They're playing Elf.
It's probably playing all the time, 24/7.
Yeah, probably.
And there's another interesting one from Disney on Friday on the Disney Channel called Disney Holiday Magic Quest. And it's actually set within the Magic Kingdom Park. And it has the cast from Zombies 2, which presumably is a Disney Channel movie.
I think so. I think I've seen it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's but it has the four kids from that, or teenagers, whoever they are. Basically, Maleficent and the Evil Queen have taken away all of the holiday magic in the park, and they have to go through obstacles and complete challenges to bring the holiday magic back. So it's actually kind of a mix of a game show and a fantasy thing. It's hosted by Raven Simone.
Okay.
And they actually are competing at places like the Haunted Mansion and Cinderella Castle for a grand prize that benefits Toys for Tots.
Cool.
Ah.
So it sounds kind of interesting and something different.
Yeah.
And then coming up on December 9th on NBC is the very questionable Dr. Seuss's The Grinch musical. And I'm saying it's questionable because if you've seen how dude looks as the Grinch, you're probably not going to want to watch it.
Ah.
it's the guy that was in Glee, Matthew something.
Morrison.
He was the main teacher in the show Glee. And he just doesn't look right. We saw the ads during the Macy's parade, and he just does not look right as the Grinch. And I don't know. I probably won't watch it. But those are some of the things coming up.
Yeah. We did sit down. I didn't realize, well, I knew that I hadn't seen it, but I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
But I did find that Amazon Prime now has that. So I'm going to sit, yep. We're sitting down this week sometime, and I'm going to sit down and watch that, finally. And I know Everywhere has my favorite Christmas movie. My favorite one of all time is White Christmas. So it's like, I'm going to be watching that at some point. But nice. The only other thing, we actually did see, just real quick, it's not quite a geek movie, but that Operation Christmas Drop, which I didn't realize was actually based on a real-life situation. It's something that actually does happen. The Air Force does in the South Pacific every year, where they drop supplies and food and stuff to remote islands out in the... And it's all donated stuff that they drop to these remote islands that can't get any other way every year.
Right.
So they basically play Santa Claus every year, and that's basically what this was about. It's geek-adjacent because the main actress in it was from Vampire Diaries. And Alexander Ludwig from Vikings, which we all love, was the male in this one. So it's all about basically saving this Air Force base that's about to get downsized and taken out because of budgetary stuff. So it's a fun movie if you want the nice feel-good type movie. And the fact that it actually is a real thing that's happening, that the Air Force has done for like 50 years.
If you don't want to have to turn on the Hallmark Channel or Lifetime Movie
Network. Pretty much. And this one's on Netflix. So you don't have to turn on the regular TV channels at all.
Right. And actually, if you go to places like Netflix and Disney Plus, they have holiday categories.
Yeah.
If you're not sure what to watch, but you're in the mood for something holiday, you can look up the categories. I found that Disney Plus was the easiest one to find. It's kind of near the top of the listing as you scan down.
Hulu is basically one of the, when you turn on Hulu, it's at the top on the spinner thing.
Netflix is the one that for some reason has not made it as easy to find.
Yeah.
Unless, like you said, you're watching holiday stuff anyway, and then you get it recommended, but it's not the full list. So you can find between Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and all of these other things, you can find pretty much any old or new holiday movie that's out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the specials as well.
And I would recommend, even if you've seen them before, watch some of the old stuff, like the original Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, and a lot of these other ones were fantastic Christmas movies back in like the 40s and 50s.
Honestly, the original Miracle on 34th Street is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like, the remake was okay, but the original is one of my favorite Christmas mm-hmm. movies of all time. It's got Natalie Wood as a little kid. Yeah.
And the guy who plays Santa is, I love him, that character he pulls off for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but it is great. So that was our holiday special too. Our holiday preview special, really.
Right.
So anything else before we get ready to wrap this up, guys?
I think we're done for now.
Nope, done.
Well, Geeksters, what holiday specials have you watched? What did you watch that we didn't watch? Or anything. Just let us know. And like I said, Miss Dawn, send us those pictures of your holiday or your Thanksgiving flops or what went fantastic. Let us know. Maybe we'll start a gallery or something somewhere. So you can, everybody else can see and marvel at what you did. You got, Kylie and Dawn have seen that Vicky made this lemon pie that was amazing this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a baker.
Yeah, she doesn't bake often, but this was fantastic.
I use fresh lemons, too.
So, let us know. You can get a hold of us at www.geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere, all social media, we're GeekWatch1. If you put GeekWatch1 into a search bar, don't find us, let us know. Miss Dawn will take care of the problem.
I have that holiday magic.
That's right. You can also find us on the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com and the Weeby Geeks Podcast Collective at weebygeekspc.com. And also, go check out our friends Charlie Murphy with Stray Dog and the Akron Pickle. Over, you can look up Cafe 388 or Stray Dog Akron. Anywhere on social media, you'll find Charlie. It's great for all of your local food delivery needs. He'll drop off pickles and sandwiches and hot dogs and sauces or whatever to your house. He may even show up in his big blue ambulance.
Right.
But he can also ship a lot of the sauces around the country, as far as we know, and maybe even farther if you get a hold of him. But look up Stray Dog Akron or Cafe 388, and you'll find Charlie there. And then you got our friends at the Pop Insider and the Toy Insider. With Christmas coming up right now, right around the corner, check out the Toy Insider. It's great for all your reviews of everything that's coming out that all the kids are going to want. So that's the Pop Insider and the ToyInsider.com. So if there's nothing else, for Dawn and Kylan and Vicky and myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.